Firstly, I'd like to thank everyone for tuning in and everyone that's here. It truly is an honor and a privilege to minister to your home church. And it's an honor and a privilege to be a part of the ministry and the work here. And we're praying for each one of you that are not with us tonight. God can help you, whether it be a physical need or another, because God is able. Tonight I want to minister a message that I've entitled, That You Can Handle the Truth. And thinking about what to preach for tonight, there was a long time ago, there was a game that I enjoyed when I was quite young. I started to enjoy it, and it was chess. And it was a game that I started to play seriously between about 5th and 6th grade. This was brought on in part by a teacher in elementary school named Mr. Stamp that had a little club that gave us an opportunity to play often. And it was about that time that I was introduced to the idea of playing a game of chess against yourself. So, of course, I took the opportunity and I would set up the board and make the first two or three moves and then move on and on from there, but having to wait sometimes part of the day or an entire day to make the next move as to not try and cheat against myself. There's one problem with this strategy, and that's also its one upside, and that's if you're playing against yourself, you're guaranteed to win, but you're also guaranteed to lose with absolute certainty. So this is one of the things that was pointed out to me by that same teacher, but it also had other benefits, but those aren't particularly relevant for tonight. And this is in some ways like when we lie to ourselves, we are guaranteed to win and we're guaranteed to lose. I think of myself sometimes, my children are watching, they can laugh on their own, but if there happens to be some leftover cake in the fridge, I am guaranteed that I can convince myself that that's a great breakfast option for the day. But yet my children are sure to remind me later that I'd been naughty and count the number of pieces of cake that are missing. So with that, I want to read our text for this evening, starting in John chapter 8, verses 31 through 36. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed, If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, We are Abraham's descendants, and we have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say that you will be made free? Jesus answered them, Most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave to sin, and a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. And thinking of truth, there's a lot of different truths that we can find out about Christ. And one of the first ones anyone, if they're going to be a believer, must first acknowledge and first accept is that they are a sinner. And with that, we can recognize that we are separated from God and that we are a slave to that sin, and that that sin will eventually lead to death. And truth is one of the most powerful things there possibly be, the most powerful things that we have and that God has presented to us, because without truth, we cannot be even saved. Without truth, we cannot recognize that we have sinned. We can't recognize that we've fallen short of the glory of God, as the Bible would say. We can't even come to repentance until we first accept a first truth from God. There's two different main ways that people find truth. Two particular examples that are in the Bible that I was reading over the recent days. One was with a pearl of great price, where someone diligently sought after it, this incredibly valuable piece, and they then, knowing its incredible value, sold everything they had to go get it. This is like the truth, which is the word of God. For each of us, there comes a time where many of us in our lives would be searching for the truth, the answers that we're looking for in life, Sometimes it's after someone's hit rock bottom. Sometimes it's after someone has paid a very high cost for their sin that brings them to that point where they want to know the truth. They want to be set free from that sin, but they don't know how. Jesus himself paid the price that we could have that truth available to us. And the other is for someone that stumbles upon it. And the sister text there found in Matthew 13 is when the man is working in the field and he finds a hidden treasure. He then hides it and does just as the man with the pearl. And he goes after it, selling all he has so that he can obtain that same incredibly valuable thing. In the Bible, there are many aspects of truth that we can learn because the Bible itself is the truth, the Word of God. And there is where we can find many truths that are irrefutable. They don't change. They're consistent. And that's one of the things that is true about God. My wife, in witnessing through the years, has told a story to illustrate that the truth itself doesn't change. It's not relative. It's not different based on the person. She tells a story about a man who stole a cookie. Goes well with my cake, I guess. So first she would say that I stole the cookie. Well, we'll just say that you believe that someone else stole the cookie, and they believe that there was no cookie to begin with. And the other one believes that a cookie was there, but it was never eaten. All of us would be wrong, but yet there would still be one truth that remains. And that truth that still remains for each of us, as I said, first was that Jesus is truth. Jesus is the one who gave us each opportunity to be forgiven. It's also the truth that God is our provider if we follow him. Like our text says, is if you abide in my word, you are my disciples. And in his word, we find many different truths throughout it, explaining the character of God. One of the first things that I was introduced to when I was first saved was that God is the one who wants to forgive. He doesn't want to condemn, but he wants to forgive. So for each of us that have that taint of sin, which all of us do, God wants to forgive us. That's the first truth that we accept. And then we can move on that God is not only the one that wants to forgive, but he's the one who wants to provide. Provision is not only financial, but is one of the most clear marks every Christian can see. And one of the evidence from us being saved is when our finances get saved. And the truth that we can find in the scriptures is that if we tithe, we will be blessed. And even as Matt had gave a testimony earlier, he gave testimony of him obeying God and honoring God in the truth that had already been shown to him that he had followed. Even though situations had changed, he still, without changing, honored the truth that God is. And then another truth is that God is also a healer. This is one that is easier for many people from third world countries to accept than for our own. Because for us, we so easily run to the doctor, the medicine cabinet, or any other form that we can think of first. For the Tylenol with the headache, for the Pepto-Bismol for the upset stomach, many of the other things. Not that these things in themselves are not that these things in themselves are wrong, but the truth is God is our healer. For the Bible says by his stripes we are made, that we are healed. And each of these truths in themselves are of incredible value, but they all add up to the character of God. Another truth is that he is our protector because he cares for us. We don't on a regular basis necessarily think of that same protection, but I know that my wife and children pray for me daily that I don't get hurt where I work, because with any other construction job, it tends to be dangerous. And inherently with it, there is the risk of injury every day. So our God is our protector. Yet another truth that can be found in His Word. And as I was going through many of these things, even reviewing them before this evening's sermon, I was amazed at how many of these things overlapped with much of what Matt had preached this morning. And at the end of the day, all the truths that we find in the Bible, they should affect who we are. If we are followers of Christ, if we are His disciples, His truths should affect our habits, should affect our actions, should affect even our feelings and our thoughts, and then ultimately our character. Our character should be changed by the truth that is presented to us in the Bible. The truth can also be presented in other ways, and that is actually one of the jobs of any man that would stand up and preach God's word, is to bring that truth to each of us, to bring us to a point where we have to make a decision on whether we're going to accept that truth or not. Because that truth does not change based on the person. It's whether or not that person will accept it, and they will change themselves. All of us, sooner or later, are faced with that decision. The first decision each of us have the opportunity to make is when we would choose salvation itself. And through the rest of our lives, the truths that we would be presented with will give us each an opportunity as we live for God, as we abide in Him. And in the scripture that we were reading just a short time ago, these men were somewhat confused by the way that Jesus was talking about being a slave to sin. And some of us, we can lie to ourselves and tell ourselves and convince ourselves, just like I can convince myself that cake is a good option for breakfast, but it's not. We can try and convince ourselves that a little bit of this or a little bit of that is okay, even though we already have been shown by God what our convictions should be. If our convictions are malleable, they will slowly slide to the least common denominator. We have people, just as the Bible say, that bad company corrupts good morals. And these morals, is where we should find them, is in the true standard, which is the Bible, His Word, which He's given to us so that we would have something to measure ourselves against. Because otherwise, all of mankind is inherently flexible over time. You can see this in our society today. If you go back even 20 years or 50 years or more and compare the politics of the day, what they would be arguing, what is right or wrong. Society today is arguing, at what point does life exist? At what point is it actually a person? They're arguing whether or not gay marriage or transgender rights or any of these other things are what's truly right or wrong. But if you go back just a short time into the 60s, was when they had the sexual revolution, then they were trying to argue whether it was right or wrong to be married. And even further back than that, you could not even get a room at a hotel unless you were married. Society over time is degrading, because one of the truths we also must come to grips with is either we are becoming more like Christ or we're not. There is no in between on that spectrum. Because each of us, when we're presented with truth, we either agree with it or not. There's no in between. Some of us like to think that what was true a few years ago might not be true anymore. And that just reminds me of a joke that, forgive me if you either identify mentally or physically as a blonde, but I'll still say it at risk of offending some. There was a blonde that walked into a bar. Oh, I'm sorry, a blonde that was in a bar, and a man walked in, and they're watching the newscast as it was coming up. And she said that the guy was on the ledge in the newscast, and she said, I bet $50 the man doesn't jump. The man at the bar says, of course, I'll take your bet. And sure enough, not 10 seconds later, the man jumps. So she hands over the money. He goes, oh, I can't take your money. I saw the 6 o'clock news, and he had already jumped. She's like, oh, yeah, so did I, but I didn't think he'd do it twice. So I say that as a somewhat humorous representation of where sometimes people think the same way of God as this somewhat naive blonde in the joke, which was not a true story, but we think that God, even though God was one way before, maybe God changed his mind. Maybe God no longer holds that truth. But one of the truths is that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And in fact, that's one of the things that we can have confidence in Christ, is that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So as we look at these different truths, we have to make our own decision. Am I a sinner? Sinning is simply the idea of missing the mark, not measuring up. And it's a separation from God. And once we all recognize that, we can then tackle the next one. And that is that Jesus Christ himself came to this earth to die for each of us, that we can be forgiven of our sins. Because the Bible, through scripture from the beginning, showed that there had to be a blood sacrifice to cover sins. And Jesus paid for that sacrifice that we could be brought back into relationship with God. And once we agree with those truths, then we can have salvation, and then we can be set free from the bondage and the burden of sin. There's countless stories throughout our fellowship of people that were broken, that were potentially homeless. They had nothing left to hope for before they stumbled upon the truth, which is exactly what they needed. Much like the man in the field who found the great treasure. Thankfully, God doesn't reveal everything to us all at once, or else most of us would probably have had a harder time answering that call. But for the rest of us that are already Christians, that already follow Christ, the other truths are the ones that we have to seek after, much like the pearl of great price, because God puts his character in his word that we may find it. Some of these truths we have to dig for, as many preachers will labor and study for hours so that they can bring to you in a short time this nugget of gold that they have found, they have mined out of the word of God, that is also there for each of us to find as soon as we would go looking. The effort is equal to many times the value we find in the treasures that are buried within God's word. God doesn't hide his character, though. So for each of us, we know the things that we might be lying to ourselves a little bit about, whether it be a little white lie. How many of us have had possibly a wife or someone that we love ask us, how does this make me look? And if we're smart, you won't answer unless it's absolute truth. But God's the one that looks on us as we would deceive, more importantly, ourselves. And the times where we don't readily accept the truths which God has presented to us, that has dealt with us, when we don't accept those truths is when we start on a road that diverts and is no longer being more like Christ, as Matt preached this morning, being sanctified. Instead, we are on a road that then deviates and goes the opposite direction. And God, being long-suffering, allows us to make that turn away from that other road anytime we're ready. But the problem is, many of us, when we deceive ourselves, the very thing we do is that we are guaranteed to win and we are guaranteed to lose. Because if we're the ones trying to convince ourselves, we are very, very good at lying to ourselves. Unfortunately, it's not as harmless as a game of chess against yourself, where you're guaranteed to win and also guaranteed to lose, or a piece of cake. But this is a game that you can, some play with themselves, that has eternal consequences. And it's most devastating to watch friends, sometimes people that have been saved for 5, 10, even 20, even 30 years, start to believe the lies of hell and to deceive themselves of the truths that they've already known, they've already seen, the things that God has already revealed to them, the work that God has done in them. Some of these people, the blessing of God that's even on their life, the very blessing that has brought to them the finances that allow them to feel all set, are the very same finances that allows them to feel like they no longer need the God who gave it to them. Because many of us, we already know that all that has been given to us has been given by God. So it already belongs to God. So it would be wise for us not to forget these things. I don't know about you, but I don't know how often that I specifically go looking in the Bible for another truth, but yet they're there to find readily. Because the Bible is a living word of God. It's not a dry, dusty historical document. And it's where we can find the very thing we need when we need it. My grandmother was a very godly woman. My grandfather was even a pastor of a Wesleyan church. One of the things she left me when she passed away, I had almost forgotten about its existence until one day, driving home from church, my Bible flew off the top of my car and it was scattered over the road. And Stephanie Van Epps, I don't know if they were married yet at the time, they helped me look for all the pages to my Bible. But in truth, it wasn't even the Bible that I cared about most. It was this tiny little pamphlet from my grandmother, where she wrote in there the different truths and milestones and victories of life that God had given to her. She, having been a mother of a number of children, a large number of children, and having been a missionary to native people, I believe it was in part one place she was in, it was North Dakota. She had even gone to Africa for a time, and she was a teacher for a Christian school. She marked the milestones of her life. And one of them that stood out to me the most was of my Aunt Laurel, who was born severely handicapped. And she wrote in those notes that God had spoke to her that she was going to survive, that her body was damaged, but she was going to survive. And this was all brought back to mind to me not that long ago when that aunt had passed away. After having lived a life and having dedicated it to the teaching of children and to doing all these things, she was a very godly woman. She was one that was incredibly interested in what was going on in every family. And it was another example to me of a woman that had sought after the truth of God and wanted to share it with another, which is one of the things that inherently happens when we have the truth, we have the character of God, is we don't want to leave it with ourselves, but yet we want it to be brought to others as well. Because we can handle the truth. And when my grandmother, she listed each of these times in her life, these milestones, these scriptures that God brought to her in a time of need, each of these steps along the way that brought her to where she eventually ended up. A powerful woman of God, a prayer warrior, a smart, very wise and crafty woman at times. One of the only people that I had ever spoke to as a child that made me feel completely comfortable, completely at rest, to tell her exactly what was going on. To admit to her the things that I had been doing wrong that I would not likely even dare tell a friend. And that was because she had a calm and gentle spirit that spoke truth, but yet did not make me feel condemned. And that truly is the will of God for us, with the truth that He wants to present to us tonight, is that He wants each of us to be at ease, to admit to Him the things which He already knows, the things that are wrong in our lives, the things that we need Him to help us with, the things we need to lay down because we're not meant to carry the burdens that many of us carry. In the end, as I said, we can handle the truth, because the truth truly, as the scripture has said, will set us free. One of the things that has marked an incredible testimony of God is when you look at the pictures between possibly even siblings, oftentimes a sibling that's even older than the other will look far younger in their later years in pictures, because you can see the cost and the weight of sin on their other family members, which might even be younger, but yet look far older as the time goes by and the burden of sin weighs on them. And with that, I want to bring us to, in closing, the final part here, is that each of us, in handling that truth that each of us has been presented with, I don't know the various things that each of us are doing in our own lives. I don't know the things that God's dealt with each of us for. But in dealing with that truth, we have to make a decision. Are we going to accept that truth, internalize it, and allow it to change and shape our lives? And with that, I want to have every head bowed at home. I want to speak first to those that are not saved at all. God is here, and God is with you wherever you are. His truth is clear and evident in all that we see. Each of us knows that we're not perfect. We can feel it within our conscience. We can feel it within our soul. We know the first time we did something wrong. We know that feeling, that guilt, that shame that overcomes us. And the reason why that burden feels so heavy is because we were not meant to bear it. We were not designed to carry the burden of sin. And the burdens of sin doesn't stay the way it is. It grows. And it leads to far greater things. Some of us, we've lived some time, and we've seen those small things when we were younger grow to greater things, to have greater consequences. Because the truth is, the older the person, oftentimes the bigger the problems can be. But God is still the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and that is that He offers salvation to each one of us. If we're ready to accept the truth which He sets before us, and that is that each of us are a sinner. I am a sinner. The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All have sinned. And that is simply true to each one of us. But you don't have to remain as a sinner. The hope is in that the same truth that brings you to this point is the same truth that can set you free. That you don't have to remain a sinner. We can be set free from those bondages, those burdens, those sins that beset us. And we can be reunited into relationship with Jesus. He is the one that laying there waiting, ready for the opportunity. If only we would ask. Ready to be changed by the truth of the living God. Ready to be changed in who we are by the character of a perfect God that simply wants to be back in relationship with us. And if there be anyone in the sound of my voice that agrees with the truth that I presented to you here tonight, I'm going to give you an opportunity to receive that salvation, to receive that freedom, that forgiveness for each that would ask. And if you want that forgiveness, you can repeat after me and say, Jesus, forgive me, for I am a sinner. Thank you for dying on the cross for me and paying that price that I could be forgiven. Come into my heart and my life. Help me to live for you. Amen. And on to the backslider, or those that know Christ already. To the backslider first. God has dealt with you before, and He's been faithful to deal with you yet again. You have the opportunity tonight, wherever you are, you have the opportunity to return to the truth which you've already known. There's some of us that God has given us blessings, that He has given us landmarks and milestones of what His goodness is, what His truth is for each of us. The same truth yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He hasn't changed. He has not changed His heart towards you. He still wants to be in relationship with you. He wants to forgive you. No matter what it is that you've done, He wants to restore that relationship with you. He wants an opportunity to make it right. Just like the Bible says that for the wicked man, if he repents, all of his wickedness is forgotten. He wants that opportunity to forget the things of the past and leave them there and heal you and set you free so that you can move forward in Christ and with Him. And to the rest of the church, we may have something that God has dealt with us on specific to you. I'm sure you're not alone, because we are all believers together in Christ, and He presents these different truths throughout our walk with Him. At different times, He presents one thing or another, but He never presents more than we are ready to bear. He brings us to a point of decision. And it's simply our opportunity to say whether we are going to accept it or not. And I'm going to give opportunity here tonight for every person that can hear my voice to respond to those decisions which God has challenged you to do. Some are big, some are small. But either way, God is the one that has dealt with you, not me. I'm just the one that has stood up here and proclaimed the word that God has given me for tonight. So with that, we'll sing a song and give people an opportunity to pray, to respond to what Christ has brought before you, the next truth which He has put before you, because we can handle the truth.
name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. Break every chain, to break every chain, break every chain. Break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the blood of Jesus. There is power in the blood of Jesus. Break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Healing in the name of Jesus. There is healing in the name of Jesus. There is healing in the name of Jesus. Break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Break every chain, break every chain, break every chain.
I hear those chains.
I hear those chains falling. I hear those chains falling. I hear those chains falling. Power in the blood of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power.